last night. Got a feeling that something ain't right. Gotta hear the latest news of the day. What crazy thing did our president say? There's commies to the left of me, Nazis to the right. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
Cities News Talk AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Good morning. Welcome to your Wednesday edition of Justice and Drew, your hump day edition of Justice and Drew, your
hump day.
All the Vikings quarterbacks have left the team edition.
See you later.
We had like all the quarterbacks. We had like so many quarterbacks.
Yeah, now we just have none.
Yeah.
Yeah. Until later today when Kirk Cousins signs.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All the old quarterbacks, yeah, they're just gone. They're gone. They're all I wanna say dead to me now.
They have left the nest.
That's a little extreme, but like mentally, who were they? They're gone. They're irrelevant now because they're no longer gonna be in Minnesota. That Cousins deal's huge, by the way.
That is ridiculous.
$86 million
guaranteed
and guaranteed,
unprecedented.
Seriously,
to have all that money guaranteed. We will. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. We also are going to do a 17-minute walkout at some point during the show.
No, that's not gonna. That's not gonna.
17 minutes of
silence.
Silence.
We'll just 17 minutes. We'll all sit here for 17 minutes and not say anything. It'll be a little game. To see if it's possible.
It's not. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. So how many walkouts are they? It's like this one, and then there's one on the 24th.
Yeah.
And then I think everybody's walking out like around the summertime for
a few months.
For a few months. We're going to throw that into the mix of the gun walkout and protests.
Actually, I know the Buffalo High School is, they're not staging a walkout, but they're actually holding like an organized 17-minute assembly. To speak about how they're feeling with
that's better.
With the school shootings and everything.
That's better.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of neat.
I'm down with that.
Yeah, that the school is choosing to organize something specifically to address the whole walkout situation.
Yeah.
For the students to come together. So I think that schools are doing that. I think that's very cool.
My my sons are doing their part. They do. They took the whole week off.
Why are we doing a walkout during spring break?
Also called spring break. Yeah, exactly. David Gartensteiner-Ross, our counterterrorism expert, will talk all things Tillerson coming up at 7:30 this morning.
Tillerson and Pompeo.
And Pompeo. Looking forward to that conversation. And then we got frequent guest Mark Lauder, who'll be joining us just after 8:30. He is the special assistant to the president and the press secretary to the vice president.
You have a bio on him, John?
I do. As a matter of fact, I do have a bio. I do have a bio on Mr. Mark Lauder. We'll talk a bit about the pending meeting with the North Korean leader, and of course we'll get his thoughts on the changes in the administration. And that would be hold on a second here, real quick. A special assistant to the president and handsome man and president and press secretary to the vice president, Mark.
Should we explain why this is funny to us?
So yeah, we've had Mark on a couple of times, and I think probably 3 times.
Sure.
And I printed up his bio 3 times. So the last time we had him on, I kept the bio and I shoved it in my prep folder, and it's just been sitting there. So the other,
so it's in your prep like every day.
Every time I open my folder up, it's Mark Lauder's face.
So on Monday, John says to me, you know, we should have Mark Lauder on again. And I said, okay, why? It seemed kind of random. Because his bio just lives in my prep. I've always got it on me. At any given time, I can give you Mark Lauder's bio.
Yeah.
So I went and booked Mark Lauder.
So are you having Mark Lauder on just so that you can read his bio to him?
Just to justify the fact that it's been sitting in my folder and deserved his face every day. That's exactly why we're having
Mark
Lauder on.
Are you going to tell him that? Because I think he might appreciate that, you know?
He seems to have a pretty good sense of humor.
Yeah. I think he'll be on board with that.
Either that or he'll stop talking to you. Think you're some kind of weird kind of stalker.
I think he'd be okay with that.
This guy just carries my bio around everywhere.
He is really good.
He's good
on the show. None of that may matter though, guys, because the world's coming to an end
again.
So we got two things happening that's going to end this.
Planet Nibiru is going to run into.
No. First off, there's a massive.
There's a planet coming.
Yeah, Planet X. You're not aware of that? We need to have a talk. There's a massive solar storm that's going to slam the Earth today.
Uh-huh. That's terrifying.
It could knock out power supplies, damage satellites, and trigger stunning auroras. That's right.
That sounds pretty.
It was created last.
Something nice to look at while the world ends.
There was a massive solar flare on the sun. Big explosion. Charged particles from that flare are now on their way to, they're heading right now to us. So this also coincides with the formation of the equinox cracks in the magnetic field, the favorite magnetic field cracks of Drew. I don't know if you knew the equinox cracks.
They're the best cracks.
Drew's favorites.
Yeah.
So the cracks could weaken our planet's natural protection against the particles and could leave commercial flights and GPS systems exposed to the incoming storm.
This sounds like a much bigger deal.
Sounds like a really big deal. Like the sun just exploded all over us.
I shouldn't be learning about this from you, kind of big deal.
Well, there is some good news. You will be able to get a better glimpse of the Northern Lights this week because of it.
So while we're burning alive?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So unless all the commercial jets are blocking our view as they're plummeting to the ground.
Scotland and Northern England, and also says the northern tier of the U.S. will also have a better view of the Northern Lights.
That would be us.
Yeah.
We're north.
That's pretty cool, right? So the world's going to come to an end, but we'll see the Northern Lights.
Pretty.
That's not it either. Yellowstone is rumbling again. The super volcano may trigger a nuclear winter if it explodes, right? It's always a constant concern. I did look at the map this morning. We're not in the kill zone, but we're in the primary ash zone.
Oh.
Yeah. So we'll die, just not as fast as everybody else closer to Yellowstone.
It'll be a slow, ashy death.
Yeah, exactly.
You're smothered by ash. Beautiful.
An estimated 87,000 people would be immediately killed, and two-thirds of the U.S. would be immediately uninhabitable if the volcano were to actually go and erupt.
That's terrifying.
How many people would be killed?
87,000.
I'm actually this is terrible. Kind of surprised it wouldn't be more in a situation like that. Do you know what I mean? I mean, thankful that it wouldn't be, but.
My understanding is if Yellowstone goes up, it's game over. Eventually, that ash cloud turns the planet into nuclear winter.
Yeah, I would imagine maybe immediately it would kill that many people, but I mean, the after effects of that would be devastating.
The story out of the Press UK makes me laugh, though, right?
Go home and hug my kids.
This is
the worst opening to the show ever.
Well, the terrifying. The experts are saying that the likelihood of Yellowstone going up is, you know, it could happen.
Yeah, well, how many people said that about Trump winning the presidency?
Yeah,
right?
John.
Yeah, John.
All right. I'm sorry. You know, stop scouring. Let's all go.
And we need to go home.
Yeah, let's go home and hug our family, and we're done. People won't be able to listen to us anyways once the once the solar flare particles bombard us.
I just bought a new car.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Yeah.
I should not have done that.
No, but on the bright side, you just bought a new car. You're not going to need to make payments on it.
Oh, that's a good point.
See? You got to enjoy the new car.
You certainly should have waited to have bought that new car after today's show. And so for the walkout today, don't bother, kids. Just don't even go to school.
Yeah, hug your family.
We're about to have a nuclear winter, and a planet's going to run into us, and solar flares are going to fry our eyeballs.
I didn't have the planet story. You added that, but yes, the world is coming to an end.
Sam has been futilely, apparently, because the world's coming to an end, scouring the internet and finding the top five stories that you need to know on this last day of Earth.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, on this end of the world Wednesday. Hey, by the way, to that point,
you put me in a weird,
I'm sorry,
mental place now.
Okay, all right.
You should have done that at the end of the show, so we could all just leave and go home.
Contemplating the end of the world.
You guys should know by now. Don't take it literally. I'm just kidding. We've had solar storms before, and they always say, it's always a disappointment, though, because they say, oh, this stuff's going to happen, and it never does. Of course, now that I said that. The Yellowstone.
That's not a disappointment. You're using that word wrong.
Okay, well, I mean, in terms of.
That's good news.
Show content.
That's good news that those things don't happen.
The one thing out of the Express UK story about Yellowstone, this has been going on for a while. There was actually, there were quite a few stories being written at the end of last year because they were swarming. The earthquakes were swarming Yellowstone, sort of at an unprecedented level, and then it ended up calming down. Minor earthquakes occur in the Yellowstone area about 50 times a week. There were two recent ones, a 1.5 and a 1.8. So that had some people kind of going, well, that's a little bit out of the norm. In the story, though, they went to Twitter. Would you like to know what Twitter people are saying about this? Okay. So you had one person on Twitter said this. Prayers to Yellowstone. It could end it all. Another person said, Yellowstone is rumbling again. That's the one. So if you base the comments they pulled from Twitter and kind of attach that to the level of concern, there isn't a big level of concern. One person did write, Yellowstone's going to blow up and get us all.
Oh, that's nice. That's really nice.
So there you go. Eventually,
should we consider a preemptive strike?
Can we cork it
against Yellowstone?
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we consider?
Wait,
should,
how do you?
Should we have that conversation? If Yellowstone is suddenly becoming a threat,
right?
Do we need to take action now?
Have you been there before, Sam?
I have not.
They've got that Old Faithful. I mean, they tried to cork it. And just a big giant
cork.
Yeah. And then give me the bottle that it was attached to that has wine in it. That would be spectacular. Yeah, I'm not sure if a preemptive strike on Yellowstone would work. It is quite beautiful there.
Yeah, we'll have to ask David later.
He's going to kill us all, but it is quite beautiful there.
He would know.
Yeah, David would know. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get his thoughts. He'll be joining us at 7:35 this morning. Mark Lauder at 8:35. John has a bio on Mark in case anybody's wondering.
Yeah, I'll put it up on Twitter and take a picture.
But for now, Sam has been in there scouring the internet, finding the top five stories you need to know to kick off your Wednesday.
Number one.
Stephen Hawking, the best known physicist of his time, has passed away.
You could also say Stephen Hawking, the only known physicist of his time, has passed away.
That's an accurate statement.
That's not true. I watched The Big Bang Theory. They're physicists, I think.
They're actors.
Do we want to have this conversation?
They're not real people.
Everything I know about Stephen Hawking and physicists and stuff, I learned from the Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
From Care 11, Stephen Hawking, whose brilliant mind ranged across time and space through his body, was paralyzed by disease, died early this morning. A University of Cambridge spokesman said he was 76 years old. Hawking died peacefully at his home in Cambridge, England. He's the best-known theoretical physicist of his time. He wrote so lucidly of the mysteries of space, time, and black holes in that his book, A Brief History of Time, became an international bestseller, making him one of science's biggest celebrities since Albert Einstein. Even though his body was attacked by ALS when Hawking was 21, he stunned doctors by living with the normally fatal illness for more than 50 years. A severe attack of pneumonia in 1985 left him breathing through a tube, forcing him to communicate through an electronic voice synthesizer that gave him his distinctive robotic monotone. But he continued his scientific work, appeared on television, and married for a second time. As one of Isaac Newton's successors, as Lucasian professor of mathematics at Cambridge University, Hawking was involved in the search for the great goal of physics, a unified theory. Such a theory would resolve the contradictions between Einstein's general theory of relativity, which describes the laws of gravity that govern the motion of large objects like planets, and the theory of quantum mechanics, which deals with the world of subatomic particles. For Hawking, the search was almost a religious quest. He said finding a theory of everything would allow mankind to know the mind of God.
He was an amazing human being. I mean, and fortunate to be able to live at the time of him being around. And you know, it's sad that he passed. It's amazing, incredible, stunning that honestly he lived as long as he did and was able to produce the work that he did with everything that he was afflicted by.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of those individuals that falls into that to that iconic, you know, category that we talk about so often when it comes to people who were creative. You know, this guy in the world of science is one of very few, and respected wise. Like, you have sort of your Bill Nye the Science guys, but you know what he contributed to science obviously goes far and beyond that. The only person that I can even equate currently to that is
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
He's the only guy that I can even put, and even there, I don't put Neil deGrasse Tyson up to the level of what Stephen, you know, Hawking has contributed. But when you look at the icons of science, you know, he's the one individual that sticks out.
Yeah, and to reach sort of the level of notoriety that he did in sort of mainstream culture and pop culture, in while he's doing this, you know, incredibly heady, scientific, hard to understand work, that's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, yeah. Did anybody see the movie? I may watch it over the weekend. The Stephen Hawking movie.
I did not. No.
Yeah, I may have to watch that over the weekend. I heard it was really good.
Number two,
Democrat Connor Lamb has declared victory in a Pennsylvania special election that was determined too close to call. From Fox News.
He's just declaring victory anyway.
Yeah. I'm a winner!
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't matter now. In the minds of so many Democrats, he has already won. I mean, he probably will, but it is too close to call, but it's already sort of been, everybody's going, oh, he won, and this is a referendum.
Absentee ballots may settle the race between Republican Rick Saccone and Democrat Connor Lamb for Pennsylvania's 18th congressional district. Democrat Connor Lamb declared victory early Wednesday in Pennsylvania's special House election. That was officially too close to call, but seen by some political observers as a clear message to Republicans prior to November's midterm elections. The most recent results, with 99% of precincts reporting, show Lamb up by fewer than 900 votes over the Republicans. State officials said that there are about 3,900 absentee ballots that still needed to be counted. The final result may be determined by a recount. Still, the unofficial results show Lamb riding a wave of Democratic enthusiasm in a district that President Donald Trump won 16 months ago by 20 points. The result was expected to raise Democrat hopes of taking back the House in November.
We'll have more commentary on this in just a second. On the recount front, my understanding is there's not an automatic recount in this. There could be a recount, but it requires the counties to have to individually call for that recount, so it's not like where in most states there's an automatic recount based off percentages.
We'll have some more comments on this and continue with Sam's Top 5 right after this.
Justin.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM, Justice and Drew. We're kicking off Sam's Top 5. We left off on number two.
Number two.
Is that where we were?
Connor Lamb declaring victory in the special election, Pennsylvania special election, that as of right now is too close to call. And of course, you know, the Democrats are claiming this as a victory, claiming this as a referendum against Trump.
Yeah.
Which is kind of tricky to do when he basically ran as a Republican.
Right.
He ran as a very moderate Republican.
Well, this is the unfortunate byproduct of the way that the news is handling this right now. And we don't want to wipe out on this too much at the moment because we are in the top five. But there's an article out of the Washington Post, and it's interesting because sort of the byline to it is the rise of the conservative Democrat. The main headline is Pennsylvania vote shows that Trumpism has its limits even in Trump country. The article spends the majority of its two pages worth talking about how this is a referendum and how this is showing the cracks in the GOP and how worried they are. Here's the problem, though. There are very interesting takeaways that have nothing to do with that. One, Saccone is a bad candidate. He is the epitome of that guy who was trying to be Trump and was just pushing it too far, and he wasn't all that popular in the area. And the other part is, when you get to the very end of the article, to what Drew said, Lamb, a 33-year-old retired vet, has echoed Trump's views on trade, right, is personally opposed to abortion, and adverse to aspects of gun control.
Gee, how progressive.
Right. He's the opposite of what the national DNC is running on right now. So, look, I don't want any Democrats to win. If you're going to have a Democrat win, you know,
have it be this one.
Have it be this guy.
Yeah.
That's the bigger takeaway here. And we talked about it yesterday. If the Democrats want a winning strategy. This is the winning strategy. Offer up centrist Democrats that can appeal to the GOP never-Trumpers out there who would be okay with voting for a guy like this.
Yeah, but that's never going to work on a bigger stage.
Right.
That'll work in some special elections. That'll work in some districts. But if you know, once the activists sort of start to get wind that that's the type of candidate that they're seeking out and running, they'll never stand for it. You think this is going to fly here in Minnesota?
Right. Right.
You see all the trouble Tim Walz is having.
Right.
You know, in sort of shoring up the progressive activist base in the Twin Cities area.
This was the way to pull votes from Saccone in this particular race. But we mentioned it yesterday. For Democrats to do that, you have to do what? You have to be agreeing somewhat with what Trump is doing from the White House. And too many on the left would refuse just out of spite to ever do that or certainly ever say that on a national stage.
Number three.
Student walkouts to protest gun violence are planned for today across the Twin Cities and the U.S. From the Associated Press, from Maine to Hawaii, thousands of students plan to stage walkouts today to protest gun violence, a month after the deadly shooting inside a high school in Parkland, Florida. Organizers say nearly 3,000 walkouts are set to be the biggest demonstration yet of the student activism that has emerged following the massacre of 17 people at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Twin City Schools planning walkouts reportedly include 5 St. Paul public high schools, all 3 South Washington County high schools, Stillwater and Roseville area high schools, Hillmurray and Lakeville South high schools as well, 3 Roseville area elementary schools, and others. Students from the elementary to college level are taking up the call in a variety of ways. Some planned roadside rallies to honor shooting victims and protest violence. Others are holding demonstrations in school gyms or on football fields. In Massachusetts and Ohio, students said that they'll head to the state house to lobby for new gun regulations. The coordinated walkout was organized by Empower, the youth wing of the Women's March, which brought thousands to Washington, D.C. last year. The group urged students to leave class at 10 a.m. local time for 17 minutes, 1 minute for each victim in the Florida shooting.
We'll have a little bit more commentary on this coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning. I liked. I'm not in support of these walkouts happening today or the ones coming up. There's a lot of style over substance, and again, we can get into more detail of that. I like what Sam you said was happening at one particular school.
Yep.
What they were doing, I'm more on board with that idea.
Yeah. So the Buffalo High School, at least, and I'm sure that there's a few other high schools around Minnesota and of course around the country that are doing this as well, where they have like a walk up initiative instead of a walk out initiative. So they're supporting students to walk up to students, to walk up to teachers. To have a conversation, and Buffalo High School in particular is having like a listening session for 17 minutes, and I think in their gym, where they're going to like listen to each other and speak about these things rather than just walk out. Like they're trying to make a difference more actively, at least within the school, versus just walking out.
And then, to me, I mean that's a much wiser way to go about this. You know, I mean, you want to prevent gun violence? Well, start with showing some empathy to people that are struggling, because those are the people that end up going down this path and finding themselves in a situation where they feel like this is, for whatever reason, you know, some appropriate course of action to take or their only outlet. Start showing empathy to the people in your school that, you know, everybody knows. You know, I mean, high schools are even the biggest high schools, you know, most people know most people. And everybody can identify a student in their high school, in their class, that is a bit of an outcast, that they know has social anxiety or struggles socially to make friends. So, you know, take this opportunity to reach out to them and show them that there are, you know, that there is empathy out there, that there are people that care about them.
There are plenty of people, obviously, at the national level that are already pushing to do some type of gun control that these kids will be encouraged to go and rally and chant and march out for. Marching out from the school misses the point. Staying in the school, doing what Buffalo is doing, and I think a lot of that depends on what the meeting is, but these schools, if you're going to handle the issue, are very unique to every single school. If you had a rally, right, make it for a half hour, make it for 45 minutes today to mark this, but have that rally, have that group, have that discussion. What do we as staff not know from you, the students, about life here in our school. Mm-hmm. And then open it up that way. You can begin discussions about those cliques that we talk about and how people are ostracized in school. Because they're all very singular in nature. Every single school is its own little city with its own little set of dynamics. That's the way to handle it. Not going and marching out with your pre-made signs and your pre-written chants and your written down talking points. That's going to be just a lot of style over substance, in my view.
Number four.
The Vikings are closing in on Kirk Cousins. The quarterback is visiting Minnesota today. From the Star Tribune, Kirk Cousins' first free agent visit will be with the Vikings. It's quite possible the visit is going to end with a contract, making him the NFL's highest paid quarterback. The Redskins quarterback will visit the Vikings on today and tomorrow as the league year officially begins. Cousins is still talking to teams in addition to the Vikings. But mutual interest between the former Pro Bowler and Minnesota has been something of an open NFL secret for weeks. Multiple reports said that the Vikings had offered Cousins a three-year, $84 million deal, which would make him the highest-paid quarterback in the league.
And unprecedentedly, it's all guaranteed.
Yes,
that is the real key to this contract that a lot of people aren't talking about. That's not true. A lot of people are talking about it. The fact that it's guaranteed, and that's really never been done before at this level.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Can you speak a bit about that? So this doesn't happen very often.
No, most NFL contracts have, you know, you'll hear like Garoppolo, for example, 100 and whatever million, I think 16 million. That's not all guaranteed though. He's not going to make all that money. You know, there's a percentage of that money that is guaranteed, certain percentage of that money that is in signing bonuses. Some of that money is incentive based, but there's always an opportunity at some point after 2 years or 3 years or whatever for the team to just cut the guy.
Wow.
And pay him, you know, a portion of his remaining contract, whatever, however it works out. Having a full guaranteed contract is incredibly rare.
What's that speak to when it comes to, I mean, just that much faith, or, you know, and how much of his getting the guarantee and the amount that he got based off of what we've been through with the quarterbacks that we no longer have that are all leaving? Is this the Vikings going, we really want to cement somebody solid and commit fully to him and don't want them to go anywhere?
Yep. Yeah. Yep, that's what it is. I mean, it's a 3-year deal, so it's like, all right, we want to lock in this guy. We don't want to have to worry about the quarterback position for the next few years. The big question mark is how this contract is structured. Like, how much money is in year one, year two, year three? Because there are a lot of other players whose contracts are coming up, specifically on the defensive side of the ball, that are going to command a big dollar contract. And if it's structured in such a way that the Vikings are having salary cap issues going into, I believe, the 2020 season, you know, they could lose some key defensive players. So this is sort of an all-in move by the Vikings on at least this upcoming season or the season after, saying our window's open. We've got a lot of talent on this team. We came very close this year. We think that by pushing all in on Kirk Cousins with this core group of players that we have right now, that we can make a push and be a series contender for the Super Bowl.
Hopefully he doesn't have any knee problems.
don't even say that out loud. How dare you?
It remains to be seen if the Vikings offer will be the biggest one that Cousins receives. The New York Jets have $84 million in cap space and have positioned themselves for a strong run at him, but the chance to compete for a championship in Minnesota could be what gives the Vikings the edge. Case Keenum, Teddy Bridgewater, and Sam Bradford agreed to terms on Tuesday with new teams, marking the official end of their 10 years in Minnesota. Unrestricted free agents can't officially sign with other teams until 3 p.m. this afternoon when the new league year begins.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, all of these deals are being reported by, you know, NFL reporters, and there's no reason to think that, you know, they're giving out false information or that they're misinformed in some way. But it's always important to remember that nothing is official until the contracts are signed. So Case Keenum has reportedly signed, agreed to a deal with Denver, Teddy Bridgewater with the Jets, Sam Bradford with the Cardinals. However, you know, Denver was one of the teams that was often mentioned in the Kirk Cousins conversations. So if Denver decides that they want to throw more money at Kirk Cousins, and Kirk Cousins says, you know what, sorry Vikings, I know we were close to a deal, but this one's better, this could all change. The likelihood of it changing is pretty slim, but until contracts are signed, nothing is official.
Yeah, I was reading some reports this morning that were saying that the Cousins deal was done.
Yes.
That they were simply waiting for basically just waiting for the clock, you know, to strike three, and then it would know, but it was done. But you're right. I mean, anything's possible.
Terms have been agreed to, but, you know, there's still going to be a face-to-face meeting today, which probably hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to meet with Zimmer, he's going to meet with Spielman, and that's all going to happen today. They're going to go out and enjoy a nice steak and some cocktails or whatever, and, you know, maybe it could go sour, but it's highly unlikely.
I'm telling you what, man, you know, obviously Zimmer wants this guy. He picked the perfect week weather wise. I was just looking at the temps today. We're getting close to 50. I mean, you couldn't imagine if your cousins and you come here and it was like 2 out. I'm like, I don't know, that's a good deal, but it's cold.
It's really cold.
It's really cold here.
Number 5.
3 Illinois men were charged in the bombing of a Bloomington mosque. From Channel 5, authorities say they have arrested 3 men from rural central Illinois on arson charges who they believe are behind the bombing of a Bloomington mosque in August 2017 and an attempted bombing of an Illinois abortion clinic in November 2017. A Tuesday statement from the U.S. Attorney's Office in Springfield announced the arrests of Michael B. Harry, Joe Morris, and Michael McWhorter. All are from Clarence, a rural community 35 miles north of the Champaign-Urbana area, which I assume is in Illinois. A confidential source...
You would assume correctly.
Yes. A confidential source told authorities that Morris said he made the pipe bomb that McWhorter threw into the mosque. Morris also told the source that Harry said that he would pay Morris and McWhorter $18,000 for their involvement. A search of records from Enterprise Rent-A-Car also showed Harry rented a vehicle on July 27th and returned it on August 26th, a day after the bombing. Acting U.S. Attorney Gregory Brooker spoke about the arrest briefly during a press conference yesterday afternoon. He said that bombing that took place last summer was a tragedy for all Minnesotans. And from the beginning, it has been a top priority for federal and local law enforcement and remains so today. FBI Acting Special Agent in Charge Robert Bone said his office will continue to investigate the motive behind the bombing. Bone added that law enforcement does not believe there is any further threat to the community related to the incident.
I'm curious about more details if they're going to emerge. I do find it a little interesting, and it's early, and we should probably maybe touch upon this briefly at the end of our lengthy discussion with David Gartenstein Ross, our counterterrorism expert, after 7:30 this morning. There's no talk of motive here. This is an odd one because they're not from the area, so there hasn't even been any.
How did this mosque end up on their radar?
Right, there's no local connection here, you know, and we
very strange.
We saw the words that came out that were premature coming from Governor Mark Dayton at the time. They may be relevant. There was a lot of discussion when this happened about the climate locally. When we talk about the relationship the community has with this part of the community, this seems like a very sort of an odd occurrence that I think the public deserves to have a little bit more detail on.
Yeah, I want to learn more about how these guys decided to attack this mosque in Bloomington when they live in the I think it's the suburbs of Chicago,
right, yeah,
area in Illinois. It's very odd. It's very strange. I've got a lot of questions. So it's one of those, we'll just wait and see what comes out. You know, they're already talking, you know, according to this story, they admitted to making the bomb that was used.
Right. So, it was a pipe bomb.
So clearly they're not going to, it doesn't appear that they're going to be withholding a lot of information. So we'll learn a lot more about this in the coming days. It's going to be pretty fascinating.
Yeah, my assumption is that they have some issue when you have this and you have this abortion clinic. Yeah. But this is, I can't recall a story like this before. You know, and we also have we talked about it yesterday on a completely different note, but we have those bombings that have been taking place, those package bombings, I should say, in Austin, Texas, too. Completely disconnected, but also odd that those are occurring as well.
I'm curious what the motive is there. I mean, that could just be random. We have no idea at this point.
Interesting note on that, on the Austin, Texas situation, right? So there was three different packages left at people's houses, brought them inside, exploded, people are injured. I think there's been a death involved. We talked about yesterday.
A couple deaths.
Yeah, a couple deaths involved. We talked yesterday about how you know, you change the dynamics of that particular situation going on in Austin, Texas, and you get a larger national story, right? You make it a gun just based off of the climate that we're in. But we also mentioned and talked about whether or not that was a good or bad thing, right? Is it better to have this focused in Austin because you don't want to cause that panic? The story that came out this morning was apparently they've been fielding hundreds of phone calls now in Austin, Texas, of people who are freaking out.
265 reports of suspicious packages.
And that grew because it was like 150 yesterday afternoon.
And the reward has been raised to $65,000.
Well, you know, and that speaks to, you know, what happens to the psyche of individuals. You know, the likelihood of somebody getting injured with something like this is incredibly small, but you have that concern. Can you imagine if something like that happens outside of Austin, Texas, then you have your national news story, you know,
become something,
and pray that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And hopefully no copycats or anything like that. Would be, that'd be awful if that became a thing.
All right, coming up, we do have some local news we'll get to. The House failed to pass right to try bill. We'll also get into the House panel advancing the bill to ban cell phone use while driving. First off, though, we will visit the border with President Donald Trump. He was there yesterday. He compared illegal border crossers to professional mountain climbers.
Yeah, maybe they're not so bad. You know, he always made it sound like these are not people we want in the country.
He certainly is colorful.
They're very fit, apparently.
Justice in